people aren't getting divorced, I'm gonna sit down.
Now, we were talking about who Jimmy means.
I forget what we said. What were you telling me about?
Well, I was telling you that long, when I first met him,
when he was shy,
he was so very, very shy that he would come in and he used to wear his hat tipped down over. And instead of looking at you, you know, he'd kind of bow his head like that and walk in and kind of look up out of the corner of it and say hello and just kind of sneak out. And he was just real, real quiet. And he used to drive that same old truck that he drives now.
Oh, that he parks across
yeah,
the way.
And he used to have an old, old car,
with
too.
With a crate?
Yeah, with a crate.
He had
and he had a real, real old car. And everyone thought he was sort of a mama's boy, you know, because all he did was stay home with mama and go out and work. And
he was a mama's boy, wasn't he?
I guess he was. And then when he got married, everybody was sort of shocked because no one even...
That's after his mother died.
But I remember when he used to go courting, you know. We always saw Jim in his khaki pants and that blue shirt. He always wore one of those faded blue type shirts, you know.
Yeah,
and his khaki pants. And then we'd see him get all spruced up and he'd have on a white tie. You could see him going to Micanopy on the weekends mostly. And then we heard he got married.
Well, now, what family did he marry into?
I think it's Crider.
Mrs.
Crider.
I know the name, but I don't know the
people. Rudolph Crider married, one of the Criders. That's not her son, though, but I think it was Rudolph Crider's mother's sister. But one of the Criders married into that Preston family. Two girls, Boots and Belle Preston, or Lois and Belle. He married Belle Preston, one of the Criders. And one of the Crider women was, there are two families that used to live out there on that road, Windsor Road.
I saw him, and they lived across the street from each other.
That's right.
And I went out there because somebody sticked me on him. For a carpenter. Did you do that?
I don't recall doing that, no.
Maybe it was Robert Smith, somebody I know. And I went out there and talked to him the longest time.
Yeah.
And he was over raising babies. And then probably he didn't do much time there.
Yeah.
But he was an interesting
The Crider kids were always real smart, and they say that Jim's wife is too, but no one knew, she didn't get out very much. She wasn't real sociable either. But I can recall after that, he sort of unfolded and got where he would, talk a little bit more and was friendlier when he came in the restaurant. And now he doesn't seem shy at all when he comes in. He just comes in and says hello and she's straight in the eye. He doesn't talk a lot, but he...
He still doesn't talk too much.
Not too much, but he comes
in. I wish you'd seen him over bunches there when I first met him. He'd sit down there on them old car seats, you know, like with his bunch of hair.
Occasionally,
if I didn't get your newspaper, any funeral would have been eaten up.
Because
that's the only paper.
You
don't
eat
me?
No, we're talking about this.
Yeah, anyway, sometimes Jim will get in there and talk with Beatty. And he'll get right vociferous at times. He'll get talking quite a bit with him. And he's very emphatic about what he says when he believes something. You know, he'll say, you know, you can just see him over there. He has such a quiet voice, though, at times, that I think you have a feeling he isn't talking when he perhaps is.
Oh, he's got a good voice.
It's kind of a quiet, so.
Now, you know, that's an interesting thing.
I remember his baseball, liking for baseball, though, some years ago, because I remember them telling me they had a good baseball team down around Evanston way.
Yeah.
And that was the same group you run into with Frank McCray and so forth. So. It sort of tickles me how he always needs his trademark, though. Always two huge oranges. Hardly ever more than two, but two huge oranges for Mom. Sometimes he brings her pomegranates or something he thinks is sort of special. Amazing that he does this. You know, he doesn't have to stop by there, you know, because he really lives in Micanopy. But he always remembers.
Special.
But he always remembers, too.
Yeah.
I mean, would I want one?
What would happen if you had just one of those? Do you think it might be nice to have just one of those color fans on the plate?
Well, I'm not real sure. I think it would be real nice. They'd have to be I really, well, I think most of the women I can get along with okay. But I think I have to know the man's habits pretty well. Because one thing I don't tolerate too well are these junk cars that they seem to bring with them. They just keep buying cars and they sit there and deteriorate.
Yeah.
An eyesore.
What's that done?
They take them apart.
They take them apart and they just buy old ones that break down within a year or something like that.
That's right. They just leave them there.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what kind of family relations they have, because they have a tendency to move their families in with them too. So if I started out with one family, I might end up with 15.
Well, now, how does that work down the hill there?
It works that way, because Mary has just 3 in her family, you know, children, and she keeps 3. So that there's 6 children there all the time. She keeps her 2 sisters and her brother, Talma, and Gloria and Geraldine. And her mother lives down in Cocoa Beach. And then Robert,
Mama,
her brothers.
Just a minute, honey. Could you fix me a glass of water?
Mm-hmm. Her brothers are forever staying with her, too, you know. They are always, and even when they were down at this other little house, you know, down at the foot of the hill, well, Mary's brothers were always coming in there to stay, and Wesley didn't like it. He'd put up with it so long. He's pretty generous, really. But he'd get tired of it. And sometimes he'd come up the house, and he'd say, be half drunk, of course, and say, Miss Lawrence, I'm going to shoot. Shoot him dead, Sam. Get out of there. And he sounded like he meant it about half the time. I think occasionally he did take pot shots at him some years ago. Yeah, and he'd run them off, and they'd stay a long time, and then they'd come back. But she ends up, especially if they are out of money or something, and she feeds them. However, they're pretty loyal to her, because one of them comes and gets her now and takes her over to the highway to go to work in the morning. And occasionally, she works in Gainesville some now. She's gone into the big time now. And if they have any extra money for food, well, they usually will bring her some money for food and to help her out. And, of course, one of her brothers, he has moved in down there, and he married a wife with a full-grown family. And so there are extra children down there now all the time. Mary's brother has moved into that other house. See, when they first started down there, Mary lived in the house on the corner, and her mother-in-law, Carrie, lived down one house, and Jack Davis lived
Jack
in
the lived
other.
In the house he's living in
living
now.
In
Carrie lived way down there.
And then Carrie moved, so Mary moved into her house and lived there until Jack moved, and then she moved on up into Jack's house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And now Mary's brother
moved over here in your house on the highway.
In Gainesville.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Micanopy, pardon me. He lives
down
in Micanopy. No, Jack lives in Micanopy.
Almost.
And Brent. Then Mary moved into Jack's house, and her brother and his wife Lola have moved into that other one. And they had twins since they've been there, plus one other child, so they've had 3 in the past 3 years or so. She's the one that likes to play baseball so well. She'd rather play baseball and fish than eat. So, see, like already, look how many are down there now. And just that one family started out with one couple and 3 children. And there are 3 extra children in one house, plus 5 extras in the other, all related. And then when the other brother comes, there's an extra one. See, I think you have to be kind of cautious unless you want, you know, be run over with people. I think I'd get a retired couple if I had anybody, or an older couple.
White?
No, car'd be fine. But I wouldn't want them at the childbearing age and multiple relatives, because then you sometimes don't get one that are as desirable as people that you have asked
in the
think first
you
place.
Get one without
the relatives. Well,
and dogs.
Well, Mary doesn't have many dogs, but she has about 17 cats.
Those are my cats.
She'd be glad for you to claim them, I'm sure. This morning she's having great trouble with roaches. They're about to eat her up. Down there, she thinks they've eaten the wires in the back of her stove because it keeps going on the blink. It's a relatively new stove, and she's had all kinds of trouble. She thinks it's the roaches. So she was up this morning trying to get some advice on how to get rid of the roaches. She said she went in the kitchen the other night and opened the refrigerator, and they're all in the refrigerator. I don't know how they got in there.
They
it
got
upset
in
her
the
pretty bad, so she took everything out and
now Wesley can't
cleaned it out.
Like
Wesley can't do what? Oh, he doesn't care.
I see.
Passes him by. He just goes to work. Hey, guess what Wesley does every day at noon? He goes home and watches the soap operas. He wouldn't miss them for anything. Never kill. He likes The Secret Star and As the World Turns. So he goes home and takes an hour for lunch every day and sits glued to the television set for his soap operas. Mary. She fixes lunch before she leaves and puts it in the stove for him, and he goes home every day so he can watch them.
Well, now, what does Billy have to do with all this?
Well, he gives him an hour for lunch, but the other men eat out under the trees with their lunches, which he could do, too, and save Mary the trouble of fixing something, I guess.
But all these people living down there, what does Billy got to do with that?
Well, sometimes he's not too fond of it. It's just like when Jack lived down there, you know. His son moved in with 9 children and paid no rent in that house up on the side of the hill. And these children were not desirable in the sense that they stole everything and messed everything up. They would break in his Jeep or in his station wagon, and they'd go in the shop and take whatever they pleased and do all sorts of things down there. You know, they just helped themselves. And he felt sorry for him, so he didn't evict him. He'd get after him. And he felt sorry for Jack, I guess. He's always, you know, he's got a reverse loyalty. He might say he's loyal to Jack because he's worked for him so many years. And he didn't throw him out. So the only way they got out was the house burned down. You know? No, I don't think so.
Billy and the whole crew.
I don't think so.
The children were, which ones that went to school, some of them would stay off now and then. But almost all of them were in the cane patch, including Billy.
They were home that day. They had a fire in the fireplace, and I think maybe that's where it started. So, you could, sometimes Billy would get real mad, and he'd still feel like sending them off, you know. Just like one time, old Wesley got in Billy's Jeep drunk and went across and knocked the windshield out and everything else. And he came up there.
Yeah, I remember that, and I also remember the truck.
Yeah, he wrecked that. And he said he'd all throw him out.
I don't mean the truck, I mean the tractor.
Tractor. He felt like y'all threw him out. And he did the truck that way too once. And he felt like y'all threw him out because he weren't paying any rent and all this. And then about 2 days later, he'd forget. This is a soft touch, you know, really. He feels sorry for him. He's not real crazy about all of them down there, but he doesn't mind terribly as long as they don't destroy things, you know. He kind of lets them go.
Well, where did the family go after the house?
They went to Boardman. Uh-huh. They're all living down there now. They've been up to the ranch. They still come back. Jackie came up to see me. He was going to Vietnam.
Yeah.
He's doing real well in the Army.
That gets in there.
So I was sort of surprised, you know, he came up like kind of like his farewell, and he wanted to tell me what all he'd been doing. Graduated high in his class.
Okay.
Yes, and he seems to have taken a great deal of pride, and he's always a little different anyway.
Yeah.
His older brother, he must be younger.
Not too hot, but he's always had this aesthetic sense that made him actually leave home and come up to our house and sit in the yard and sleep or just sit there in preference to being home. Sort of interesting.
And he, you know what that dog almost did?
Mm-mm.
He almost bit me.
Well, pat him on the head gently.
Just leave him alone.
But Jackie looked real, real good. He gained 48 pounds.
What?
He gained 48 pounds, Jackie had.
Goodness.
And he's 6'3". Looks real good. And he talked about what he was doing, and he thought he might stay in the service. His opinions of it were very interesting. He was a platoon leader.
Well, now, you see, I love having a family over here. They help me, and it'd be nice for them. Now, you know what's happened to Ben and Dee. Buddy, one of his daughters.
You like the dog?
And they
did. He tried to bite me, but he got taken off.
Yeah, well, was bringing all that to the apartment, all that. She had to feed them and babysit them.
Mm-hmm.
5 days a week and sometimes all Saturday.
Well, Mary was having Lola's parked on her while she went fishing. And so Mary, I think, decided she just as well go to town and make some money.
I
thought my weevils were worse than her roaches because my weevils had gotten into the grit and all my flour, two containers of flour, two boxes of potatoes, and just everything I had. He made my chocolate up. Can you imagine that?
But they didn't bother the cream of wheat.
Oh, we found them in the cream of wheat this morning. And so Mary was just kind of laughing about it, but she said she thought she'd take the roaches to the weevils. She said she knew they were dirty, but at least they wouldn't eat her food up. How these little teeny white bugs in there, too, that were just eating everything, you know, just all over. And she said, you can't even sift these things out. And I said, I know. Yeah, she was laughing about it. She's just dying laughing. She says, I know I'm not supposed to laugh at you. But I think it's right funny. I think she's... throw everything out and start over. But I think what I'm going to do is spray down there real good, and I'm going to put some of this bug paper down so if they walk across it, they'll die. But I'm convinced that these little eggs are in that flower.
Yes.
And that under the right conditions, they mature.
Oh, yes. In the summertime, you get the right condition most of the time, I'm at it.
I think I have a breeding place in my closet. Yeah. I think they've gotten in there once, and they're there to stay. I think they get down the corners or something. So we had a good time this morning. Mary about noontime said, gee, she hadn't even gotten to the kitchen yet. She'd been so busy talking to me. She was real talkative this morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes she is. You can't get anything done when she talks.
She was
to visit.
Everybody knows that. Everybody likes
that. Yeah, she's real cheerful. But she's laughing about all those weevils and the roaches. Kids coming in down there so that she can't put roach pills around. So I suggested she get some wire and attack, you know, use those large roach cakes and get Wesley to tack them onto the wall behind that wire, and then the kids couldn't get to them. Put them back of her stove and her refrigerator and spray about every 4 days. She was spraying about every 2 weeks, but eggs hatch, I think, in 7 days, so they were probably coming back out again, so she's going to spray about every 4 days.
Mama.
So she's going on a roach attack, and I'm going on a weevil attack, and we're going to compare
Mama.
Notes next week.
Oh, I thought you could get rid of them.
Better arrange a week over here. You catch me at the wrong time. I've been lying down sleeping and I'm dry.
He could say that, and next time I heard him bark, he was out of Santa Cruz, and it was about 2 miles now. Just a minute. So in 5 minutes, he was about 2 miles.
Right up on front end again. And
well, now, how you figure, what do you do there?
Huh?
What did he do to get ahead of him?
He.
You know what people are interested in.
Let's see if that'll work now. It's working on the left side now. It's up to 60. It's up to 60.
Then they went on across and back about 2 miles back in there and would have had to be. Sick or female dog out of call her Judy. And when that cat when Mr. Dewsbury came up there and that cat dodged around a while, run a while, with all the dogs after, he went back that same railroad track and tried that again.
Yeah.
And when it did, that little dog that found it, she just pulled it and went way back up there, just a little bit. I heard the bark up there and the rest of them all went to it, and it just took him 2 hours to run him down and catch him. They just picked him up on the ground. And I didn't, well, I put that in there. I didn't tell as much of it as I should have the other day. So that I can tell you a story about a fella in North Alabama. The story in North Alabama, there's a fella up there in 1914 had won 7 different counties. And fox hunting. So that was back in the horse and buggy days. So that in that fall, I took my dog out, went out there the night before, and caught 339 possums. And so they was telling my brother about it, and they didn't believe that old fox dog of mine would do that. I said, well, I've been doing that all the time with him. Pick up a sack and an axe and walk off from the house and line it. Don't blow my bowling horn. Take no up. And he was three possums. They couldn't believe it.
Now say that again. You pick up your sack and what?
Sack and axe.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could cut the tree down and just a coker bag.
Yeah.
I see burlap's really the correct name.
Yeah.
And go out and he had three possums. Well, my oldest brother wanted to go that night, and the next night, so we started the possum hunt. I heard someone blow a horn down the road, and I looked for the little sort of come up out and run with me, you see. So that I said, let's walk back out the road. That may be those fellas coming up to run that bad running dog again, mine. And I said, I don't want to miss it if they come. So we walked back out to the road and waited till they got up there. And I told them, I said, you all look like I blowed my horn. Mine came in, came back too. I said, looks like you all got some fine dogs. I said, we have. One brother spoke up and said, I have one. I won 7 different counties with. He beat every dog in 7 different counties. So far.
Now, was that one of your neighbors there?
No, I come from, 15 miles to go in there with the wagon to run against their dogs against mine.
Uh-huh. Oh, they come in there where you were?
Yeah, they're coming up there, but they should have let me know, but they didn't, you know. So that,
Well, a lot of people don't do that, you know. They just come
on. I just turned and blowed my horn. My dog came back, you know. Well, I blowed that horn. You couldn't have got him to run across him.
Is that right?
I had him trained that way.
Oh, yeah.
So that went on back, and I asked him, I said, where are you going? He said, anywhere we can find the fox. So I said, well, we have to go about 5 miles. You have to go about 5 miles from here.
Uh-huh. Now, what time of year was that?
That was in the fall of the year.
Yeah.
That was in the fall of 1914 now.
Yeah.
So that we went back to the house. My brother didn't go. And they had about 40, 50 dogs. They had Walkers, July, and Black and Tans, and mixed breed dogs. So when we got up to the house, I told him I'd get a horse to ride. I believe went and got a mule. We had a little mule there a bit. He liked to fox on, and I liked to ride him.
Uh-huh.
I went and got him, put the saddle on him, and didn't get a horse. So that when I got back out there, this dog of mine had his head up just standing waiting for me to go with a big flag tail. It looked just like this one that I lost this last year.
Yeah.
Big flag tail going this way. Haven't you noticed these here?
Yeah.
Well, I've been hunting flag tails ever since then to get these. And when I got these, and I was the first one I'd find when I got these.
Mm-hmm.
So that... Mr. Some of the fellows' names were Bushell, and some of them was Westwood, and well, I know just as well as had the best dog. He lived at Pocahontas, Alabama. Buck Bass was his name. He was the one that had the little July that nothing couldn't run with. So that. He says, you got a fine looking dog there. I said, sometimes he'll run a little bit. I never would say nothing because we went hunting. Or they couldn't kid me if I wouldn't drag on the dog.
Yeah.
So before we got there, we was wondering who we could have get for judges. Didn't have most everybody in that crowd had a dog, and they weren't supposed to be a judge. Well, we met three fellas before we got there, and I told them, I said, you all been saying that my dog didn't run like everybody said he did. I said, now here's a man that had, Mr. Best has a dog here that has won seven different counties. And I said, we're going to run a contest race tonight, and we need three judges. Can we get you all to go with us and be the judges? You all don't have any dogs. They said, yes, we'll go. They stayed right with us. And we went on, and when we got there, every time my dog started on a hunting, some of their dogs would pick after it and bark on his track. And he had turned, went to growl, and he'd come back to me, and we got into the hunting. Now, you got it? When we got into the hunting ground, I stopped on gravel hill. You got it? When we got into the hunting ground, I stopped on gravel hill. And told them, said, keep their dogs there. We'd take about five or six and start them the way that from the Strike Park. I said, if they won't run my dog, he'd go on and find one. So that, we started walking on that and let us keep all but about five or six dogs. We had one walker, and that his little July, that big fag tail walking Maryland that I had, and a black dog that my friend had that hunted with me. We took those to Strike, about five of them. So after a little, about a mile down, we back down on the side of the big hill. I heard this dog of mine open. He began trailing, and after a little, some rest of them went to it, and they began trailing.
That
it wasn't a thing but a fall. Because he didn't do that when I blew that horn. He didn't want to run nothing but a fall. So that, went on and went trailing going west. And Mr. Bess hollered and got his dog excited, and he got in the road and circled 2-4, and the fox turned back to the right. Hollered and got his dog excited, and she got in the road and circled 2-4, and the fox turned back to the right, back north, and then turned back to east, about 2 miles back in there, and going across some bluffs and cliffs and on Splunge and Blackwater Creek. And they went back west of the Nyers on the point of the Gravel Hill, about 2-3 miles in there. So that I told him, I says, if we are going up here, back to up there and get on that road we were going down and go way back in there, turn to the left, and the mine will be in there by the time we can get over there. He's going that way, and he'd already gone out away from everything but the old walker dog, and he's about a mile behind.
Now, you weren't on your little mule then?
No, we just sitting there, we're standing in roads, you see. But I had the mule out to ride in and out down those roads, you see. But they'd made a big truck around about four or five miles in there. And you couldn't ride riding behind them because of bluffs and cliffs and creeks and branches. And so that he had gone way back, going back east then, passing us going the other way with the fox.
She's way in the front.
These judges said if that dog jumps that fox, that you can shit in my old house. You cut that house, you don't do that much. I says, you want to bet on it? And He says, no. I says, I never heard him open on a fox track and he didn't jump it before he quit. So it took him 1 hour and 35 minutes, and he got on the cross a while, and we cut him across, and so that I told him, I said, we'll walk going down now if you all won't put him in ahead of him. I said, if you do that a time or two, you won't have a dog to run with you. And I said, wait till just he crosses the road and won't bother him, and I said, he won't go to slapping that back to them. So that they just couldn't stand it, and they had to go out there and put theirs in again. And this little dog had won, you know, it done come back to us, and it was trotting along with us. And so that she was supposed to, the way to judge him now, she would have been scratched then. And all of them, but that old Walker dog of mine, it done come back. It's a cold and bad trail. I went on down there, and they put him in ahead. And I said, you all did the wrong thing. I said, now, when he comes up to here and find out they're stuck ahead of him, he knows what to do for those dogs. So they're trying to run it down in there and running over his track, and he didn't say a word till he got on the other side of him, and he began to open him again. He had a good tongue. The way he barked, he said, oh, 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 oh. And so he went trailing on, and he got away from them again, went way down in on Blackwater and jumped it, about 3 or 4 miles down there and jumped it, and brought it right back across that same